You are listening to Read It, Roll It, Hole It.
He's 2 punts from victory.
Only needs one.
Okay, welcome golfers to the Read It, Roll It, Hole It podcast. I'm very fortunate to have a special guest and good friend and colleague, Zach Galliford, on the call today.
How are you doing, Ollie? Thanks for having me.
How's lockdown been for you? I know you're obviously with us at Ross and Wye, but you've managed to get home for a few weeks.
Yeah, so I've gone back to Wales. Allow me to get out of lockdown anyway for 2 weeks, obviously with different restrictions. But it's been good. Being able to do a few of my assignments as I'm a PGA trainee, and then really helping my family. They were doing the kitchen, so just time doing that really, and then learning a bit more, ready to get back in a week or so.
Handyman Zach then, is it?
I don't know about that. More my dad is. I'm the helper on the side.
So Zach, like, I thought, we'd sort of perhaps start with your career, your golfing career. If you can sort of talk us through sort of from a young age, how you started and how that career looked up to now.
Yeah, okay. So pretty much it was about age 8. So how I came into golf was the fact I used to do karate from the age of about 5. And I got my black belt age 8. And that was great. But I found that I plateaued in an area where I just didn't find I could improve really when it came to karate. And I just found I wanted to go down other avenues. And really, I looked into golf. My dad's a king golfer. He's been golfing for about 35 years or so. And then got me into golf. So I started from the age of about 8 down at Borthwick and the Slash Golf Club. So really that helped me, especially they had a good junior section. There was Sue Wilson and Alan Pruthach. Alan Pruthach was a Welsh selector, and that really got me into it. And really I was fortunate enough, I just picked it up pretty straightforward, pretty easily, and just loved it from the start. And then from the age of about 9, I really got into playing a bit more competitive golf. Got my senior handicap at the age of 9. I don't know what it was, about 24 handicap, something like that. And just thanks to Alan, really, is the fact that he introduced me to the Welsh squad setup and went from there, really. So from the age of 9, I got into they used to have the Welsh under 14s B squad. And obviously there's a lot of kids a lot older than me, 13, 14 year olds. So it was a little intimidating, being a lot smaller and younger than them, but made me learn a lot along the way. And really there, I just moved up the ranks, up the age groups in the Welsh setup, which really allowed me to improve a lot throughout my years, really. And then as I got older, I really thought about what I wanted to do for a living, really. And golf was really my passion. I just wanted to play golf for a living. So come the age of about 15, 16, that's where I thought about what do I want to do next after high school, really. So that's where I pondered the ideas of staying in the UK and going to university here. But the lure of going to America really stood out. Just the fact that you get to play all year round, the weather's great, and then just the competition, really. So I went out to America turned out to be 5 years, really, and then came back here after that and decided, really, that I probably wasn't quite good enough to make it for a living to play golf onto the top tours, onto the PGA Tour. Etc. So wanted to go down the coaching route, really. And that's pretty much what happened. It was about May, June time in 2019. I started at Royal St. David's Golf Club, and I was down to Gareth Lewis. He gave me a call and just thought I was interested. And then I was there for about a year. Really learned a lot along the way. And then spoke to yourself, Ollie, and Tim then in June, July time after lockdown, and everything fit together nicely. And then here I am at Ross-on-Wye from about July time. So I've been here for about 4 months now, and loved it. So it's really been great for me, and enjoying everything about it.
Brilliant, fantastic. Well, it's from a sort of personal point of view, having you on board part of the team in the last 4 months has been, you know, superb. And, you know, I would say that I've learned a lot more from you than I've learned, you know, you've learned from me. So, you've been a great addition to the team, and we're all learning. So it's a joy to work together.
That's the best thing I've seen so far, is just especially being a part of the Tim Hall School of Golf team, is the fact that everyone's so proactive, wanting to learn. There's always solutions to any problems, especially if someone comes in. There's always everyone's on board to trying to find what we can do to help them to make their time more enjoyable, help their golf. And I've always thought I've been pretty hardworking, especially from early ages, obviously trying to be a top level athlete. I'm pretty hardworking, but the team around in THSG is phenomenal and probably more hardworking than me, which says it all. And that just comes from the top, really. So always just pushes you. And it's always great to have people around you that are like people like you, have the attributes that you want to have.
Awesome. No, it is good. And do you think you're like, obviously being hardworking, do you think the karate taught you a lot for that? Do you think? Because that's, I don't know karate, but I wouldn't fancy fighting a black belt 8-year-old. But
It was definitely, it's more definitely to do with discipline. So karate is more to do with self-control, and then not really to do with fighting. It's more you use all your power and you can control it and only just hit a person with a feather-like touch. So there it definitely taught me a lot of things, as from a young age I've always been really small. So that's the reason why I got into it, really, was the fact that I potentially thought, oh, people would pick on me growing up, really. So that's where I thought karate would be great, and that discipline to just, I knew what to do, and then I just had something to focus on, was great. I honestly wish I probably carried it on. Definitely fitness wise would have been amazing, because when I was 8 years old I could do anything, really. So I wish I carried that on to I am now. Maybe I'd hit the ball a little bit further.
Yeah, interesting. It's good that you took those life skills into the life skills you learned from karate into the world of life. So that's that's pretty cool. Talk us through like your highlights of your career, Zach. I know you've had some fantastic wins. One in particular I've got in mind, which I've had the pleasure of hearing you talk about over the last couple of weeks on our lockdown calls. So perhaps you can share that story with us as well.
Yeah. So I've been fortunate enough, especially going through the age groups where I was almost at the top age in my age group. I was one of the better ones. And then I would always grown up to playing against older people in older age groups, just because of my ability, really, which has been great and great life lessons. So really my bigger wins, I guess, to date was being my first one was when I was 12. It was the Welsh under 13s championship. It was down at Raglan Park, and it was one of the first big Welsh events that I was pretty much playing in, and played very well, but hit a few blips in the road towards the end. And then I'd say I got pretty fortunate towards the end. I had about a 50 yard pitch shot on the last hole, and I think I slam dunked it, or one bouncing in, and I had no clue about whether I'd won or not or anything like that, and ended up only one by one. So that was a key shot. So that pretty much got me on my way. And then I've won Central Wales Boys when I was about 14, 15. So that was a great great step up to the next level, especially that's under 18s. And then I was fortunate enough, I chipped in there on the last hole to, I think, win by one as well, over Evan Griffiths. So that was pretty nice. And then definitely my biggest win to date was in 2016. I won the Welsh Amateur Championship down at Southern Down Golf Club. So if people don't really know about the Welsh Amateur, it's changed obviously the format over the years, but when I won there, it was 36 hole stroke play to get into 32 man match play stage. So there's a lot of golf. It's probably 7-8 rounds of golf in the space of 5 days. So you have to obviously be at the top level. And it was just one of those weeks. I'm playing very well. And when you're playing really well, you just go with the flow and you don't realize how well you're actually doing. One of the rounds, I was 9-under through 15, which I don't think I've probably ever done that before or since then, really. It was and I didn't really know that I was going really low. All my goal was to beat the person in front of me. And then the final is really a 36-hole match play. So a lot can happen in 36 holes. And I was fortunate to be five up after about 10 holes, played very well, and got into the break. This was against Owen Edwards down by Newport area. And he, I was 4 up after the 18 holes. And with match play, especially at the top level, you know, either the person's either going to come back or either it's going to be a bit too aggressive and you're going to walk away with it, really. And he came back and played very well. And we were pretty much all square coming up 17. And I made about a 30 footer for birdie. And I'll always remember, I had a caddy on the bag all week, Nathan Chilcott. He's a member at Southern Down, really good caddy. He's done a lot of caddying for a lot of good golfers. And we're coming up the 18th hole, and Southern Down's a very, very narrow 18th hole, 450 yards with gorse either side, split fairway. And he's tried to recommend to me to hit my 2-iron. And it's just not the way I play, especially I know my strengths, and that's what I recommend to anyone, to play to your strengths. And my strengths is really hitting the driver, and that's probably the straightest club in my bag. I'm not the longest, but I'll hit it pretty straight. So there's a reason why I'm in that situation. So it's best to really carry on and don't change that game plan. So hit the driver, but I'd be lying to say I wasn't nervous over that 18th hole. It's quite daunting with a 30-mile-an-hour wind left to right. And I've gone through all my pre-shot routine, everything like that. And adrenaline's definitely going. I can feel I'm walking faster. My breathing's sped up and it's a bit quicker. And that's where I got over the ball, and I've really just had to regroup. I've stepped off and gone again, and then hit a very good shot, probably 30 yards further than I normally do, straight down the middle. And then that was pretty much the end of it. So that was really good. Yeah, life lesson anyway that I try and tell some of my juniors and the people I coach. And it's sometimes you might not have your best game, or for instance, but you got to trust your own ability. The reasons why you practice every day is for that moment, really. And you know yourself, it's probably knowing more about your own feelings and inner ability to hit the golf shot, really. Your technique, everything goes out the window when you're in that situation. So it was great to be a part of.
Brilliant. That's it's a great win. See, were you all square down the last hole?
So I was all square coming up the 17th, so the 35th hole. Then the 17th can be a tricky hole. I've hit like a 4-iron off the tee, and then I think I've hit an 8-iron to the middle green and hold a 30-footer for birdie to get back to 1-up. And that was the first hole, the 17th, the 35th was the first hole. We were all square in the match. I was always up. So a lot of people could have thought, oh, it's not ideal when you're always up and to potentially lose it. But yeah, I would have taken at the start of the week to be all square or one up on the 18th tee, for example. So yeah, it's the way it goes. We can't control everything.
Definitely not. With them, like, obviously, so you were like 4 or 5 up, and then for it to get back to all square by the 35th hole, there must be some element of doubt, or you like must be sort of thinking, oh God, I've thrown it away, or I'm going to lose. Like, there must have been something, some emotions, some crazy thoughts popping into your head, and you managed to obviously overturn that and come back with a birdie and a beautiful big bomber down the last. Talk me through that, Zach. Like, how did you deal with that?
Yeah, so definitely, like, obviously when you're 4 or 5 up and everything like that, everything's going well and you just want to carry on applying the pressure. The beauty of match play is the fact that whenever you are up, you can instigate how the match really goes, and that's what I try and do. Is really, if I'm up, I'm very solid and I just want to be very difficult to beat. So I'm not going to give a shot away or anything like that. I'm going to stick into the middle green every hole, 2 putt. If a putt drops here and there, I'm not going to make any bogeys, and then force the opponent to really make birdies and eagles to beat me. And that's what really happened. Was, I think it was about the 22nd hole or something. Owen had a great stretch where I think he went like birdie, birdie, eagle. And straight away then my lead's cut from 4 up to 1 up. And definitely crossed my mind. I was like, oh no, this is actually happening. This could happen, whatever. But then I realized, and this is probably the where your mind, you're thinking clearly, was I noticed and realizing that you're thinking ahead, where when you're 4 or 5 up, you're not really thinking ahead, you're staying in the moment. So that was where I definitely just thought, okay, you're still 1 up, let's do the same things you've been doing the past 20 or so holes, and then go from there, really. So that's where I definitely just had to realign what was going on, and just to try and almost stop that momentum, because momentum is key in match play, especially. And just get a few pars and a couple birdies here and there, and then it just stops that, really. And then trying to reassess. But definitely when I missed about a 5-footer, 6-footer on this 34th hole for par, so I went back to all square. Then I thought, oh no, this isn't good. Okay, this is, now it's a 50-50. This isn't all in my court. So that's where you just got to go, okay, it's like, all I thought about was the fact that, like, Seve Ballesteros, he would always say, especially in match play, the beauty of it's just one job at a time. You've got 18 jobs, or in this fact, 36 jobs. Yeah, and you just tick off one job at a time, really. So that's what I thought about. And then, I was fortunate enough. I rolled in a 30-footer. And
the rest is history.
Yeah.
Great story, Zach. I love it. I love it. And I know, like, you've been telling that story to the juniors and to the members in lockdown the last couple of weeks. And the comments we've had has been quite overwhelming, hasn't it? I think you didn't realise how much how powerful that story is to people.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's what I, especially all the experiences I've had, like, I've been very fortunate to travel the world and play big tournaments at an amateur level anyway, and definitely be in different situations that can really help people, that especially the youngers that maybe haven't experienced that yet and potentially will do in the future. And that's where it might not always be the same for other people, but just for them to think about, especially there, like, it's just really to control what you can control, really. It's quite easy to say, especially when you're watching people on TV. They'll always say one shot at a time, but that's probably one of the hardest things to do in golf, is to think one shot at a time. But just to even know that top level golfers, they do think ahead or think about what could have happened, but they try and block it out of their mind, which is, yeah, really, really key to performing at your best.
Fantastic. And share that, you know, those experiences you had out in America. And like, I know you played with John Rahm, I think, and a few others. Talk us through what the key learnings.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to play with a lot of, well, guys you see on tour now, because I've just turned 26 now, and they're all around that age. So especially when I used to compete for Wales, we played in the European Young Masters, probably one of my favourite events probably I've ever played, really. It was down in Hungary. There's just two boys that play under 16s from each country, and then two females play. And it was just a great fun, great laugh. And then I was fortunate to play with a lot of good golfers that week, especially that I was playing well. So I got to play with John Rahm that week in the second round, and like, really nice guy. And obviously back then we're both 15 years old, and he's a lot bigger than I was anyway. Let's just say that I was maybe 5 foot at the time, and he's 6'2", probably the same size as he is now. And really cool guy, honestly. Really enjoyed it, especially how different golf can be and how it can play different for different people. And, you know, I've had a good time where I'll remember I birdied the 16th as a par five, and I've hit a 7-iron for my third shot in, and I've made a 40-footer. And he's hit driver 3-iron or something in two onto the green. And he's just given me a little fist bump and just said, hey, that's two different ways to make a birdie. And that just summed it up, really. He had the power, the attributes to do that, where I wasn't blessed to do that. So it was really good. Played with a few others. Christopher Ventura, if you see now, he's on tour, played a lot with him. And then that was during that week. And then a few of the I believe it was Yannick Paul, he's a German, he's on Korn Ferry, maybe on PJ Tour now. But it was a really good week. I was playing very well, but sadly missed out on the Junior Ryder Cup team that week. But it was good, and then I cannot complain about. So I went to America in 2013. I went to University of Texas at Arlington. So pretty much in Dallas, Fort Worth area, and really, really enjoyed it. My first year was very difficult, just obviously moving away, not having that comfort blanket of your team around you, your coaches, your family, everything like that. It was tough, and found it very difficult, especially with the with just everything going on there, and then the coach and everything like that. So a lot of people don't realize, especially coaches out there, is a lot of managers, or they're actually golf coaches. So I had the manager the first year, which made me get into probably bad habits that I didn't realize in, especially swing and everything like that. So that made it tough. But then the next 3 years that I got to play, I was really fortunate and loved it. I got to play, you name it, all around the US, and played in Mexico a few times, played with a lot of great golfers, you know, like Xander Schauffele, played with him, JT Poston, still pretty good friends with him, really good golfers that, especially when you're at that level, when you're 21, 22, that you don't realize that in 3-4 years' time, they're top 10, top 20 in the world, which is pretty crazy. But definitely allow me to learn a lot from them anyway. And it was an amazing experience to have, and I'd recommend it to anyone, really.
Fantastic. That's good. It's good to hear the stories. And we're fortunate to speak to Paul Dunn last week. He came on to speak to our juniors, and you know, these guys are super generous with their time. And one question I asked Paul was, you know, what's your biggest defeat and what's the thing that sort of stings the most and how did you overcome it? And tell the listeners what he said.
Yeah, so he pretty much just said, so obviously Paul Dunn is European Tour player, two-time winner, and Irish, he used to play for the Ireland national team, and this is in the home internationals in Ganton, and he just pretty much said, yeah, my biggest defeat, I played against Wales, and I lost 3-2 to this guy called Zach Galliford, and it still haunts me to the day, so... I didn't really tell him to say that, so that was nice of him. Fair play.
You didn't pay him, no?
No.
He, talking of paying, he was telling us about his chipping comps he has with Shane Lowry and Padraig, was it?
Yeah, Padraig, yeah.
They put 100 euros in and the chipping comps, that was pretty cool. Good, okay, Zach, that's some great insight there. With them, like, growing up, being a superstar, or top golfer, you know, from such a young age, there must have been a lot of pressure carried on your shoulders where, you know, I remember the Canberra News saying the next Tiger Woods is coming from Aberystwyth, you know, or something like along those lines. Anyway, you know, you were getting bigged up from a very young age to be like the next big thing. Like, how do you remember that? And what, when you did start to remember that, like, How did you manage with that?
Yeah, so that was pretty much from an early age. Like I said, I've been lucky to be pretty good at golf, especially beyond my years, really, and beyond my development age, anyway. And I found it difficult in some stages, but I try to be humble whenever that happens. Like, I'd rather someone speak good of me instead of myself speak highly of myself and boast, really. I'd rather be humble in that regard. And really, like, the pressure from others probably would never be as high, the pressure that I put on myself. Like, I had my own expectations. And sometimes, especially when I was younger, I probably had too high of expectations in my own ability. And that probably transcended in me losing my temper. Yeah, probably not getting the best out of my games in times, just where my expectations on myself was so high. So I think it was irrelevant what other people thought of me, really, because I had myself on a higher standard anyway, and that would get me to work harder, practice more, and be ready to perform.
I think apart from Stefan Lewis, who's, you know, the probably the most all-round sportsman to ever come out of Ceredigion, you're probably not far behind.
I'm not too bad. I'm not sure if I'm that great at other sports. I used to be okay in the start of pretty much high school before year maybe 9 or something. I like your football or rugby or something. But then I realised as I got better at golf, I had to really limit other sports I could do just in case I got injured or something happened to me. And that's where I thought, especially when football, I liked a bit of football and rugby, especially as it only takes one person to maybe be jealous or something like that and put a foot in or tackle you a little bit illegally, and there you go. So that was not my ambition, really, of doing that. It was golf, so I really just put that on the back burner and,
On your golf.
Yeah, and focus on the golf, really.
Happy days. Just out of interest, did you know Stefan Lewis has won 13 turkeys in Tregaron darts competitions?
I know, he's a very good darts player, fair play to him. Yeah, one of the best in Ceredigion. Plays against the pros, doesn't he?
He knows them all. Yeah. Anyway, Zach, like, at what moment in your career did you realise, you know, you've played with all these top guys, you competed with them to a level, now they're on tour. Like, when did you realise you weren't going to make it, and what held you back?
Yeah, great. This is what probably... I've learned the most over this time. So obviously in 2016, I've won the Welsh Amateur. So technically I'm the best amateur golfer in Wales, which is a great, great privilege to have. And at that time I was probably, well, I've got to top was about 250th in the world, in the world ranking. So that was great. But then I had my final year in America of playing, and so obviously it's just really a numbers game. So obviously it's great to be number one in Wales for a year or so or whatever. But then I went back to the States, played very well in the like fall semester. So you have about five tournaments that didn't really come outside the top 15. I got as high ranked as about 85th for that fall semester. And I'm playing the best golf I've probably played, probably ever, really. And to know that only out of these four years of college golf is that I'm the 80th best in America, it just shows it's really a numbers game. And as blessed we are to be representing Wales or the UK, it's just shows how many golfers are out there. And I was playing well, and then the spring semester hit, and I was unfortunate. I got a pretty poor injury. I dislocated about three of my ribs. So that's really hindered, especially how I wanted to end my collegiate career, really. And really struggled, didn't practice at all for the whole semester, couldn't really move. But I was so determined to play, and probably played in tournaments that I shouldn't have been allowed to play in, really, due to injury. I couldn't carry a golf bag, anything like that. And limped really for the last couple of events, and got in and looked back in it, and I was like, oh, well, that that could have been a really good year to end on, but it wasn't as high as I hoped. But from that year, I was really getting into really helping other golfers, especially on the team, because I wanted them to get up to the highest level they could possibly, because I wanted us to win a few events or get into nationals, etc., like that. And that's where I was fortunate. My coach over in America there at the time was Stuart Dean, Australian guy, and he qualified for the Byron Nelson PGA tournament. He's played in about 15 or so PGA tournaments, about three majors. So fantastic player, really good. And what happened there was he obviously can only have one caddy, and he chose me to really caddy for him. Just where, especially in my mind, I'm pretty analytical, and that's where I can really help, or where I could feel I could help anyway, especially on a course that's PGA Tour worthy, where there's a lot of numbers, there's a lot of different things, humps and hollows, that you've got to really take into account. And that was probably the biggest learning curve of 1 week ever. So we've gone out off on the Monday, and we've done loads of practice rounds, played with a lot of different golfers, and been and picking the brains of the caddy, everything like that. And it was amazing. I can't stress how good these guys actually are on the PGA Tour. They are phenomenal. And when we get round to the tournament, like, we're playing with, it was Kevin Tway, so Bob Tway's son, and then I think it was Charlie Belgian. So they're both bombers, both hit it very far, and that's what the course is really designed. It's about 7,300 yards, par 70, and they're very good hitters of the ball. And that's where I realized, like, so my coach at the time, like, my stroke average is 71, 72, for example, and he's easily two, three strokes better than me around, and probably hits it 30 yards past me. And he couldn't really compete on that golf course. Yes, he could compete at other golf courses, but there, the golf course is too long. It's set up way too firm. Like, I can't stress how firm they get the greens, how fast they get them, just to pretty much defend the golf course from these guys who hit it so far and can shoot so low. They don't want someone to shoot 60, 62 every week. And that's where I realized, I go, wow, he doesn't hit it far enough. He doesn't spin it enough to, because he doesn't hit it far enough, etc. And it's just so hard. Like, he played very well the first round, shot level par, and he's hit like five greens. And it's just because they're so firm. And then you see the difference of play from like a Kevin Tway. There's short par four, that's 330 yards, and you'll just fly it on the green. Where I've played that golf course 25, 30 times in, while I was in the States, and the play for me is 3-wood pitching wedge, and or 3-wood gap wedge, for example, and he's just driving on the green and two-putting and walking off. Just increases the chance and his probability of scoring better. And a real eye-opener that week was the third hole. It was obviously at TPC Four Seasons then. So the third hole is about 520 yards, par four, around some water, and you can't really cut the corner. And I've played there so many times, and I've hit, the lowest club I've hit in is about 4-iron. And then my coach, who obviously hits it a bit further than me, he hit 7-iron in that day, and it's made a great par. We're like, well, that's saved half a shot on the field, for example. And we watched Dustin Johnson in the afternoon, because obviously there's coverage on TV, and he's hit gap wedge in there. And that, it just turning the hole into a, yeah, less than four strokes, for example. And that's when I finally realized that distance-wise, especially if no one knows my game, like I probably, or when I used to compete, I'd probably fly at 250 yards. So I'd run it out to 270, 275. So I wasn't blessed with distance, but obviously in the UK, that would be okay, especially when the ball was running in the summertime. But to really make it on the PGA Tour, European Tour, you have to fly it 270 minimum, 275 to even have a chance. And that's when it was really difficult that next 3 months or so to realize I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it on TV, the PGA Tour, European Tour, really, realistically. Yes, I can make it on the mini tours, Euro Pro or the Challenge Tour. Yes, for sure. I had the game for that. But to make it to that next level, I just wasn't blessed with distance to hit it far enough. And especially nowadays, the last 20 years since Tiger Effect, really, is you've got to hit it far. So if I was maybe playing in the 80s or 90s, I would definitely have a better chance. But that next 3 months was tough to realize that that 15 years of playing golf, that my dream was to play on the PGA Tour, European Tour, that I couldn't do it just on distance, was difficult. But after that, when I went back to really, I went back for the next semester or so to coach the university team and to finish my studies off, that was really where I probably, that was where the eye opener was, the fact that I want to get into coaching, and the fact that I've learned a lot along the way, especially because of my lack of distance and other attributes, that I've had to try and outsmart my competitors to gain the upper hand to compete at a certain level. And that's where it's really helped me to learn on, or to help others on, what to do, really. So that's how I got into coaching, really. And I enjoyed it, going on tournaments and everything like that in the States, helping the team with their swing. And then we were lucky, we had a track man that we used for that university. So and I think the track man system is the best by far, and that really helped anyway with coaching and what to improve with these top level golfers that were on the team. So that's how I got into the coaching aspect, and then came back here and then went from there, really.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's interesting, Zach. I think if I can take you back to something you said earlier on when you were mentioning your why you took up karate, because you're, you know, a small chap. I think, yeah, you know, you, that's the way mum and dad made you since day one. Maybe you had a dodgy health visitor, who knows? But like, how has your height or lack of it affected you over the years?
Like mentally, I don't think, like, as everyone says, you got one body and you got to live with it, really. And yes, it would be ideal to be even 5'8". I would love that. I'm, what, 5'4" now? I would love to be 5'8", but I'm sure if I sacrificed that and I was a bit taller, then yes, I probably wouldn't have done, I wouldn't be able to have a work, like, good short game or be able to hit fairway woods off any lie or something like that, where I probably wouldn't have been as good of a golfer as I am because of that. So all those limitations, it's irrelevant, really. Especially my mum would always say, like, expensive things comes in small packages. Like, you just gotta, yeah, learn to love it and go from there. And obviously you get all these jokes here and there all the time, but it just doesn't bother me, really. I've heard it plenty of times. So it doesn't bother me, really, and it's just the way it goes. Just move on, live life.
You say all the jokes, like, they don't bother you at all? Like, come on, they must grate on you sometimes. Like, no or not?
Probably did at the start, really, probably when I was younger. But the fact that I just feel like if there is people doing those jokes or whatever, then it's just an immaturity or a lack of intelligence, really. And
jealousy.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah, jealousy or, yeah, intimidation, where, yes, someone shouldn't be intimidated by a 5-foot guy. But, yeah, it's just something that they're compensating for. So I'm sure they've got bigger problems than I've got, really.
100%. Going back to, you know, you joining the team, you know, we're very fortunate to have you, and you know, we've grown as a team having you on board, and your passion is second to none. So, you know, it's awesome. It's really good. And yeah, thank you for making the plunge to come over to the, you know, we're both ABBA boys and we've left the place, but we enjoy going back from time to time, for sure. It'll always be home, but it's, yeah, it's good. Good to work together. And where do you see your sort of career going next, Zach? Or not next, but, like, obviously, yeah, developing now.
So I'm currently in my second year of my PGA trainee degree. I've enjoyed it so far. Still got to do those assignments, make sure I'm certified doing my PGA, and really going forward, especially these last 4 months, it's been able, like, I haven't been coaching as much as I would want to anyway in the previous couple of years. But since I've been at THSG, it's just allowed me to really coach and learn on hand, like, to learn on the job, and I can see what to improve on, what to work on. That's really helped me, just no matter what, like, age group, ability or anything like that. Like, I've been fortunate in the States, I was with golfers that are scratch golfers to plus handicaps, where definitely a skill I wanted to work on is to improve coaching beginner golfers, for example. And that's what I've been allowed to do, especially being at Ross and Y, is the fact, like, I can do all of the things by doing as much coaching as I have, is just to learn so much. And then really, just really had the, I guess, get in the forefront of doing the custom fitting at Ross and Y, really, has been great. As I've talked about, is the fact that I'm very analytical, very good with numbers and everything. And that's what I feel has helped me a lot with custom fitting golfers, really, and just understanding the mechanics of golf club design and what's needed for their game. So that's really been a help, and yeah, just keeping on learning doing that would be great. Honestly, when going forward after I finish my PGA degree, I'm not sure, really. I had my heart set on wanting to coach on European PGA Tour, stuff like that, but that's very difficult. And obviously, it only happens to a fair few people. I've definitely thought about becoming a PGA head professional. That would be great, just to like just have your own shop, have your own team where you can help out the people at the club and really have a hands-on take with everything. But I would say it's going to be difficult. I just see how it goes, really, and then go from there, really. I've been fortunate so far, so who knows what could come up along the way. I've been enjoying my time here so far, and long may that continue, really.
Happy days, absolutely. Like, you know, we're blessed to have you in our team, and you know, the golf club are very lucky to have such a sort of huge asset at the club. So yeah, as you say, long may that continue.
Yeah, like I can't stress the amount, like, as much as it's been great for me to learn by reading articles, looking at videos, whatever, just what I've learned the most is definitely just like shadowing great coaches like yourself and Tim, and just really understanding how to get the best out of your players and stuff like that, and what they want. It's always to do with that communication skills, to really help to see what their goals are and to help out. Like, the main reason why I've got into coaching, and like I've been, like I've said, I've been fortunate to travel the world. Like, I wouldn't be able to see all these places or travel the world without golf. And that's where I just want to give back to people, to enjoy the game, to especially juniors, to maybe have the chance of experience of what I have and maybe more. Like, that would be amazing, just to say, oh, I've had a helping hand to help them on their career aspirations. So that's all I want to do, is give back and everyone enjoy themselves.
Well, happy days, Zach. And as I said to you earlier, we learn a lot more from you than the other way around. So, and I mean that as well. So thank you very much for coming onto the podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it and the listeners have enjoyed it. And look forward to catching up next week.